Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
I want to talk to you about communication today. And sometimes people have a difficult time communicating with the Lord. But really, it's a easy, wonderful thing to communicate with God. I want to talk a little bit about that today. And the title of my message, I'm going to talk about God's verbals and God's visuals. Reading Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 14, if you want to turn to that. I'm not going to put it on the screen, but if you want to kind of follow along with that, I'm in the King James Version. And it talks about God's visuals, how he communicates visually, and God's verbals, how he communicates verbally. So it's important not only for you to talk to God, but it's important for you to be able to hear God talk back to you, right? And so that's what I want to preach about this morning, God's verbals and God's visuals. And our text will be Mark, the sixth chapter, if you want to move over to that and kind of hold your thumb in there or your finger, either one, they both work. And Mark chapter 6, we're going to go to that just a little bit. But first of all, God's verbals and God's visuals. Psalms 19, verse 1, here is one of the greatest visuals that God speaks to us with, and that is the heavens. Don't you love the heavens? Wow. Have you been watching the cloud formations lately? How beautiful they are. And just think, coming up in a few days, some of those clouds are going to have some... Right. It's a little bit of water in it. The heavens declare the glory of God. You just can't help but walk around looking up and seeing the beauty of the skies. And so that's one of God's visuals. And Psalms 19 talks about it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth God's handiwork. Day unto day it speaks, night unto night the skies show forth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the heavens, the voice of the heavens, is not heard. All over the earth, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The heavens speak. It's God's visual. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth, the heavens, is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. You've been enjoying the heat? Got a text from Brandon here last night about 7 o'clock, and he said, good news, Dad, it's only 110 out here. So anyhow, he was real happy. He's traveling this morning, coming home. And then there are the verbals in verse number 7. This is beautiful. God says, I speak to you through visuals, and I speak to you through verbals. The law of the Lord, speaking of the word of God, is perfect, converting the soul. Notice there's always a profound blessing that follows an applied principle. There's always a profound blessing that follows a applied principle. I was listening to one of my children just recently talking to somebody that was talking about how wonderful it is and how their life is so full of God. I said, you know, he said, one of the things is we learned how to, when you have an answer, it's always based upon a principle. And so an applied principle, the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord. These are names for the scriptures. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, another name for the scriptures. The statutes of the Lord are right, causes your heart to rejoice. The commands of the Lord, another word for scriptures, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, the word of God is. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his heirs, his own heirs? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, the psalmist said. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? God's precious visuals and God's precious verbals are so important to us. God's always been able to communicate with mankind by using both verbals and visuals. Someone once said, seeing is believing. When Noah was wondering if the flood was over, guess what God used? He used a visual. A dove returned to Noah with a fig leaf in his mouth. When the children of Israel needed to be led by God out of the wilderness, God used a visual. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When God wanted to make an impact on Pharaoh, he used quite a few visuals. Flies, lice, frogs. I'd say those are some pretty good visuals, wouldn't you? In the wilderness, when the people got bit by a snake, God used a visual. Not only to bring healing to them, but also to project the prophecy concerning Jesus dying on the cross. He used a brazen serpent, a snake of all things, a visual, and had it put on a pole. I like this one about Elijah when he was ministering to the people in 2 Kings chapter 6. He wanted to teach about God's power. Elijah did. Not only verbally, but he also wanted to display God's power visually. God will display his power visually. And so the Bible says they came to the Jordan and they started chopping down trees, children of Israel. As one of them was felling a timber, his axe head flew off and sank into the river. That's kind of my luck. Did anybody have something like that? You know? Oh, my. Oh, no, master, he cried out. It was a borrowed axe. That's usually my luck, too. It cost me more money. One time I borrowed a guy's airplane. It cost me $2,000 before I was able to get it back to him. Well, he got some new stuff in his airplane. Oh, well, so what? Easy come, easy go. It was borrowed. Well, the holy man said, well, where did it sink? The man showed him the place right over there. Now, the normal thing to do would be to get a human chain and go out there into the middle of the water and pull the axe head up. But God likes to use visuals to show his power and examples. So Elijah cut off a branch and tossed it into the water. The axe head floated. Grab it, Elijah said. The man reached out and took it. A floating axe head. Did you ever been like to Disney World and that stuff and you saw those remote control boats? I can just see Elijah running that axe head around. Maybe, I don't know. In 1911, a newspaper editor by the name of Tess Flanders wrote this statement. One picture is worth 1,000 words. God knew that from the beginning of time that visuals was a way to speak to people. Now, what I'm talking about this morning is I want you to learn how to listen to God. I want you to learn to be able to see God. I want you to learn to be able to hear from God so that the scriptures have meaning and they're alive and they're well. You need to be able to know that these scriptures are life. They bring health to you. And so how to hear from the word of God, how to get it off the page into your life, how to get off the page into your heart. So God will use verbals, and he also used visuals. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, wanted to introduce the Savior, guess what he did? He showed a visual, didn't he? What'd he do? What'd he send? Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Plus, he used a verbal. Not only had the dove come down, use the visual, he also used the verbal. He'll speak to us in both ways. Somebody said, I can't hear from God. Well, take a look around you. Open up your ears. He also used the verbal and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and after he had spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, he began moving throughout the country, and he entered into his hometown of Nazareth, as it was the Sabbath, and he went to church, as he always did, and as was his custom, and Jesus there introduced the fact that he's going to speak in verbals. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "There was delivered unto Jesus the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, Jesus found the place where it was written, and he began to speak in verbals. 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me,' Jesus said, 'because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And he has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, recoveries of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And he closed the book, and he gave it to them again, back to the minister. And he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. This was the beginning of Jesus' teaching and preaching ministry. Not only had God begun to show signs in the heavens and wonders in the earth and all these things, now he was going to speak through his son Jesus in verbals. And so this was the beginning of Jesus. And so Jesus would get out there and communicate with verbals. But when he began to preach, his verbals were wild. They were stuff that they had never heard before. Now, when you come to the Lord and you start seeking the scriptures, there's a lot of stuff in here that don't seem possible, right? There's a lot of things in here that God asks you to do that you say, "Well, I don't know if I can do that or not." They seem awesome. They seem impossible to believe. In fact, sometimes what he had to say was so far off the charts that people often had a hard time relating to what he had to say. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how people can be blinded to these scriptures. I just don't get it. But a lot of people are. And you know what? There's been a lot of times in my early days, I was blind to it too. I didn't get it. But God kept speaking to me in verbals. He kept giving me the word of God. I kept trying to apply them. I kept trying to learn them. I kept, just all kinds of little crazy things that he says. You know, little things like, "Put away the pointing of the finger." Well, what does that mean? Put away the pointing of the finger. Well, what's that? That's a light bulb. Well, put that away. No, it's not what he's talking about. Put away the pointing of the finger. Don't be talking about people. Put away the pointing of the finger. God says, if you put away the pointing of the finger, or if you stop talking about everybody, if you quit being a gossip, if you mind your own business and put your nose in your own business, God says, you will find me. So what he means by that is if you are a gossip, if you are a finger pointer, if you are a busybody in other men's matters, if you can't keep your nose to yourself and your mouth shut, don't expect to find God. Does that make sense? And so verbals are sometimes very, very, very hard to apply. I know a lot of people that have trouble with the verbal that says, here's a verbal. Listen to this one. You may or may not know this. But he says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you say the day approaching." That means you gather with the saints, right? At least half the time, you know. I'm not talking about being every service. I'm talking about making it part of your life, being belonging. And so then he goes on and he says something really wild. I talked to a guy recently, and I said, "Do you know where you're going when you die?" He said, "Yeah, I know where I'm going. I'm going to hell." Why? It was just a few days from his death. "I'm going to hell." Why? I was able to hand him the Bible and said, "You know, remember the Bible I gave you? Well, let me read something to you. 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.'" And we began to talk. He bowed his head and prayed. Few days later, he was gone. But see, there are some things, and look at Bible says, "Forsake not yourself, the assembling of yourself together, for as a manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day of Jesus coming back approaching." Very, very important. And then he says something really, off the wall. And he said, if you don't, you can read this. He said, if you don't, what you are literally doing is you're stomping on the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're treating the blood of Jesus as if it were the blood of bulls and goats. I think that's kind of hard to understand. I think that's kind of a little bit serious, don't you? And so Jesus is using these verbals, and he's going through, and he says things that was very hard sometimes for people to understand. He said, blessed are the meek. And every time there is an applied principle, there is a blessed results. That's how you get results from God, is you apply the principles of the Word of God. Like this, he said, this was his verbal. He began to preach, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That causes the moving of the elbow. You know, when God uses the moving of the elbow. And when God said that, they're thinking, well, what does Jesus know, that it's a dog-eat-dog world out there and only the strong survive? Yeah, he knows that. But he said, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. They'll go places. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Elbow reaction. What's he talking about? Everybody's got some stuff they aren't real proud of going on in their life. Nobody can really be pure in heart. You know, the secret stuff. See, they're trying to reason. How can I apply what God just said verbally? How can I apply that principle? I want the blessing, but the blessing won't come unless I apply the principle. God speaks verbally, and he speaks visually. He went on and said things like, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It's a principle applied, and it produces a blessing. And they got the elbow going, and they say, I get enough trouble keeping me straight, let alone worrying about being a peacemaker for everybody else. Hello. Here's the verbal. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Gripe, complain, whine. No. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when that happens. The elbow. I'm not going to let people run over me. Mess with me, you got a price to pay. Mess with me once, shame on you. Mess with me twice, shame on me. Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in her heart already. Elbow. Now, that's getting just a little bit too personal. After all, Mama said you can look, but you better not touch. Well, come on, lighten up, church. It's going to get better. Jesus said, I say, these are his verbals that he communicates with us. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you. The elbow says, say what? You expect me to believe all this? But if you're into the Word of God, you're going to love your enemies. People curse you, and you'll do good to them that hate you, believe me. Jesus went on and said, be perfect. The elbow said, now that's impossible. After all, I am flesh and blood, you know. So Jesus' verbals were a bit difficult, to say the least. Can you say amen to that? Anybody struggling with doing everything right? Well, they're a good thing. The things that Jesus preached, either they had a hard time believing it or they had a great deal of difficulty even trying to apply it. And so I think that that's probably why God uses visuals, is because what you see, you can believe. Seeing is believing. If you can touch it, you can know what it is. And so God, a lot of times, uses visuals in our life so that you can become spiritual by saying, I have seen God at work, And so therefore, if he says this, I believe it. And I have seen God at work. I've seen his handiwork. I've seen his miracles. I've seen what God can do. And therefore, that motivates me to apply the word of God diligently so that I may show myself a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the more we see with our eyes, the easier it is to apply the word of God. See, God is for you. He's not against you. And everything that God has to say here is for our benefit and for our blessing. And so that brings me to my text for today. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. We're preaching through the book of Mark. We go through a book of the Bible, verse by verse. And so last week, unfortunately, I was talking about troublemakers because that's what that was in verse 29. Now I'm in verse 30, thank God. You might want to listen to my message on troublemakers on a podcast. Now I'm talking about verbal communication from God and visual communication. And so this is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Everybody that knows anything about the Bible knows this passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Here we go. The apostles then rendezvoused with Jesus and reported on all that they had done and taught. What happened? Jesus sent the disciples out to do verbals, to preach the good news, to preach the gospel. And Jesus said, come off by yourselves. Let's take a mini break. Let's take a vacation. Amen, everybody says. And let's get a little rest. For there was constant coming and going. They didn't even have time to eat. So they got in the boat and they went off to a remote place by themselves. Someone saw them going and the word got around from the surrounding towns. People went on foot, running, and got to the other shore ahead of them. Now, when Jesus arrived, he saw this huge crowd. At the sight of them, Jesus' heart was broke. The crowd was like sheep with no shepherd. What did Jesus mean by that? He meant there's all these thousands of people, and the people are like sheep without a shepherd. And what Jesus meant by that was this. All these wonderful people, if they could only get a grasp on principle living so that that could pour out upon them blessings so much that they would not be able to contain them. It broke his heart that all these people did not know these principles that Jesus was teaching verbally. It broke his heart. And so he began to speak to them. He went right to work teaching them. He began giving the verbals. Now, when his disciples thought this has gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day, and the disciples interrupted. Yeah, preaching too long there, preacher. We got to get to the restaurant before that other crowd. Hello. So the disciples thought this had gone on long enough. Rattling on, you know, the Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching, but it works. Gone on long enough. And it was quite late in the day, and so they interrupted Jesus. And they said, we're a long way out here in the country, and it's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so they Notice that? Can get supper. Boo, you know what he really meant. I'm starving. Come on, let's get on with this. And so Jesus is getting ready to move into his comfort zone, if I could call it that. He's getting ready to open up something here that he has understood since the beginning of time, and that was how to drive the nail home, how to drive the point in, how to make the people really believe and understand what he had just been teaching them for hours. Jesus said to his disciples, well, fix supper. Well, yeah. And they replied, are you serious? You want us to go spend a fortune? One version said half a year's income. Spend a fortune on food for their supper? But he was quite serious. But I think he was setting him up for something here. And so he said, well, how many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory. And that didn't take long. Five, they said. And two stinky fish. I added part of that. Jesus' juices are starting to flow. And he's getting ready to throw everybody one great big curve. And what Jesus is getting ready to do, he's getting ready to take his presentation and he's going to switch it from verbals to visuals. And he knew that switching from verbals to visuals would impact the life of these thousands of people like nothing else would do. They'll never forget, never be able to forget what they heard him say because of what they saw him do. Did you know action speaks louder than words? And so, verse 39, Jesus got them all to sit down in groups of 50 or 100. What's he doing? He's setting up a very... He set them down in groups of 50 or 100. They looked like patchwork quilt of wildflowers spread out all over the green grass. Could you imagine all these people sitting in groups of 50? And he took the five loaves and two fish, and he lifted up his face to heaven in prayer, and he blessed and broke and gave the bread to the disciples, and the disciples in turn gave it to the people. He did the same with the fish. Can you imagine 5 or 10,000 fish in one pile? Seriously. I have a little fun with you today, but I want you to seriously think about it. Can you imagine a pile of 20,000 fish? That's one thing. They're all boned and cooked. Is that a visual? Wouldn't that make you want to be a believer? Wouldn't that make you want to think twice about wondering if God's word is really true? Wouldn't it really want to make you think twice about the fact that he who turned that into a fish pile died that you might have life and more abundantly? He gave his life to purchase a place in heaven for you that he offers as a free gift. Says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Forgive, love, give, go. Wouldn't that help you understand and believe a little more this when you saw a pile of 20,000 fish? If you can't quite swallow all of the unusual teachings that comes out of Jesus' mouth, did you know there are still... some people that are struggling financially because they can't swallow the fact that God says, all you got to do is bring 10% to the storehouse and you will prove me now. Not 2%, not 3%, not 5% or 8%, but if you bring 10% religiously to the house of God on the first day of the week, if you just do that, I will pour out upon you blessings, so many that you can't contain them all. Well, I don't really know about that. Well, look at the pile of fish. Look at the pile of fish. See, God wants to speak to you. If you can't hear with your ears, He wants you to see with your eyes and believe all He has to offer you. Because every applied principle equals a blessed result. And so if you spend all your time looking out the principles and living according to the Word of God, you'll be blessed in the basket, in the storehouse, and you're coming in, going out, you're rising up, sitting down, and everyone around you will call you blessed. Is everyone around you calling you blessed? I kind of got a little bit of that problem. Because I'm blessed. And so sometimes if you can't quite swallow the verbal, look at the visual. So they ate their fill. The disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. More than 5,000 were at the supper. And my rendition of what happened after supper, spiritual eyes were opened. And he had to use his verbal and he had to use his visual so that people could decide to no longer be sheep without a shepherd, but I will follow the good shepherd because Jesus made a believer out of me. Now here's the question, and here's the challenge that I have for you today. Here we go. What visual manifestation has God given you to see so that you could translate that into being a believer in the Word of God? What visual thing, what miracle has you ever seen God do in your life? Did God ever give you a job you prayed for? Yeah, that's a visual. Did God ever give you a mate that you've been praying so long to find, a soulmate, somebody that could love you like you love them? Have you ever come into a position where God opened the windows of heaven and gave you that mate? He did me. Made a believer out of me. God did it. Do you ever bring a healing in your life when you were broken and you were troubled and you were worried? You had a lump, you had a bump, you had a bruise, you had a pain, and you turned over to the Lord and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. All of a sudden you woke up one day and it was gone. No big deal. Oh, it's a visual. My challenge to you today is write down your visuals. Write down your visuals. And then on the other side of the book, write down the verbals that you're having trouble with. Say, God's telling me to do this, but I'm having trouble with that. God's telling me to forgive, but you don't know my ex. God's telling me to forgive, but you don't know how they screwed me over on the job. You don't know how that supervisor treated me. You just don't know. But God says forgive. To the same level that you forgive, you'll be forgiven. And trust me.
when you wrestle with that subject and you choose to forgive everyone on planet Earth, not only from the past and the present, but in the future. Did you know when Jesus was crucified, dying on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't asking and saying, "I forgive them," because he never had anything against them. He just documented their salvation. He just documented them. And I'm here to tell you something. When you deal with unforgiveness, when you get that booger out of your life that's been haunting you for the last many number of years, when you finally are man enough, woman enough, to look at the pile of fish and say, "Well, I guess God's word is true. I will forgive. I promise you something." You'll spend the rest of your life never being offended by anybody, because that spirit of unforgiveness is driven out of you. That's why God wants you to forgive, because there's a spirit that's hanging on you. There's a spirit that's taking you down. There's a spirit that's keeping you from being totally blessed under the almighty hand of God, because that spirit of unforgiveness is like a dark shadow over you. And Jesus said, "If you forgive, I'll set you free." What does he mean by that? The minute you get on your knees and you say, "Okay, I see the fish. I see what you've done for me. I'm going to believe what you said. I am going to unequivocally forgive that person." Bible says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from that unrighteous spirit. And the minute you ask to measure up to the principle of God's word, the angels of the Lord takes that spirit of unforgiveness that's been haunting you for years, keeping you awake at night. And the angels of the Lord splits that demon in half and starts removing it as far from the east as from the west. I don't know what you know about that, but that means it's never going to return on you. I've had people say things to me like this. "See, I've been screwed over a time or two." I know you don't believe that. And people say to me, "Doesn't that bother you?" Don't bother me. Well, it would me. That's right, because that spirit of unforgiveness is on you. The spirit of unforgiveness is not on me. I don't have to worry, because I've asked for the spirit. I've confessed it as a sin. It's a, what do they call that? What do they call that? You have a little pity party. Oh, it's your little special blanket. "I deserve to be this way. I got screwed over. I gave them my best. I got their worst. I deserve this." Look at the pile of the fish that are in your life and say, "If God can do that, then I'm going to follow his word and I'm going to apply principles of living never done before." Bow your heads and pray. Father, thank you for that visual of 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 fish. Thank you for that visual. And Lord, today I help us to see our own visuals, to glorify God, look into the skies and see the expanse of the heavens and glorify God. Feel the breath that we breathe, the health that we experience, the love that we feel, and recognize that as a visual that you've given us to recognize that this thing is real, and help us to apply your word and your principles in our life like never before. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.